Hello and welcome back to Keeping Up Appearances podcast. Max, what episode are we on? Is it 20?
20.
20. Episode 20 of this season, which, to be honest, is flying by. I am joined this week by Max, as always.
Hello.
And this week we've got Tosh back. So is this three on the run, Tosh?
It is indeed.
Yeah. Tell you what, he's making a pledge here to be back on the couch regularly.
Re-employed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we're also joined by Callum Murray, who hasn't been on for quite a while, have you, Cal?
About 5-6 weeks, maybe.
Was your last one the imposter game?
Yeah, it was me and Griffin.
Yeah, when you played imposter, and Max said you want to play for Fulham.
Yeah.
That was that one, right?
Griffin's been benched. Could be a permanent benching.
The worry is I'm Griffin's sub. That is a poor point.
Yeah. To be fair, the bar's low, Cal. You haven't got much to do.
You've got to be absolutely mental.
You get more clips out of him, I'll tell you.
I'm going to say the clips are going to suffer this week. That is true. I need you to be on fire, Tosh.
See what I can do.
Yeah. Right, go on then, lads. How are we doing? How have we been this week?
It's been an eventful weekend here for me. We had a massive snowstorm, about a foot and a half of snow, 2 foot in some places, which, I don't know if that sounds a lot to you, but it's a lot. My car's completely stuck. It's just covered in snow. I'm not even attempting to get it out. And then Patriots won at the weekend, so they're in the Super Bowl next week. Not this weekend, next weekend.
Is that your team?
Patriots, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been very fortunate, to be honest, because I came out, it was 2016, and they won 3 Super Bowls in that time. So they've been very, very good. And now they're back on top again after being bad for a couple of years. So
I didn't know that the snow was a thing until I was watching the NFL the other day, and it was snowing at that game, wasn't it, the Patriots game?
Yeah, it was in Denver.
Where's Denver to you? Is it far?
Yeah, it's in the middle of the country, Colorado.
Is it snowing everywhere?
Oh, yeah, we had a massive storm like across the country. Like, even places like Texas got snow, which is
really?
Mad. Yeah, all the Carolinas, they all got snow. Yeah, so now it's like the night before, it was minus 20 where I live, temperature-wise, and then the snow happened, and we're getting more at the weekend as well, another 8 inches, so yeah. Didn't go to work yesterday, which is, when you, like, in England, obviously you get a bit of snow and no one goes to work, but here it's not like that, because the roads get ploughed, but it was that bad that most things were cancelled yesterday, so yeah, it's crazy, awesome. To be honest.
Yeah, we keep wishing it, get more time off work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More time to just play video games all day.
What about you, Carl Tosh?
I'd no snow. That's pretty boring.
Could the Patriots get the final for you, Cal, as well? Or?
Yeah, I think it was for me, actually, to be fair. So it must be for me and Max. I'm proud of them. all good. Obviously, went to the game yesterday, which maybe we'll talk about in a bit, but yeah, all good.
Josh, any news now?
No, as we were just discussing before off, I'm in the middle of a moving house, so I spent a lot of Saturday and Sunday sort of putting things into boxes, etc. Yeah, so quite boring, really, as usual, but yeah. Nothing to report.
Did the World Cup make it into a box?
I haven't got the World Cup. The World Cup is a thing. That's like I see it every 4 years, like the actual countries. So yeah, no, it's my dad's. My dad didn't let me have that. No chance.
What about Maradona?
Maradona's in the box. I can get Maradona now. I just see Maradona before. Let's see if Maradona's about.
Official KUA mascot.
I know. What a throwback.
It's what you get when you get the old team back together, Sean.
I know.
Yeah. It's apparently it's not in the stuff for the living room, which is a bit of a disappointment. I'll be having a word. But I did see Maradona. It's a blow. I hope he hasn't made it into the bin.
I know. Look what you've done here now, Cal. You've made it. We don't need that.
Usually I'm sat next to the whole record. Yeah. But no, Maradona will be there, don't you worry. I'll say, send the photos, put it on the socials, Sean's, the listeners will be worried. So
yeah. They've been asking about him, to be honest, since you know, his last on. They've all been asking for him.
Yeah.
So, as Tosh said, if he comes back on in a couple of weeks, it will be with a new backdrop. So, obviously, we've had Griffin last couple of weeks in his bachelor pad. We'll have Tosh in his new house. We're all moving up in the world, aren't we?
Are you getting a bookcase, Tosh? Or?
I've asked Griffin where he got the bookcase from. Yeah.
I'll have to put it in the van.
Yeah. Well, I think Griffin was grabbed. I was thinking when I was listening back to the pod, I reckon he's trying to go for the take over Tosh's book club.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's read a book for about 15 years. But
definitely not.
That's the difference. I don't want to know about the books he's reading.
I mean, all book he could have in his bookcase. We haven't done that in a while. Something in the water.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that like you've come on?
We haven't plugged that in a bit. He's got that in his bookcase. Have I got a moving in present for you, Tosh?
Well, yeah, I've already got it.
I'll give you another. But I've got loads here, trust me.
Right, go on then. We will move on to the footy. Yeah, the reason we're all here. So, last week we kind of mentioned, when we were talking about the Premier League action, we kind of mentioned that it was pretty much stick to the status quo in terms of... I sounded very American then, didn't I?
That was no status quo.
You've been hanging on Maximum.
I said, do you know why I said it? Because that's how they say it in High School Musical.
But
I realised it sounded like Max. Sorry, it's rubbing off on me. So yeah, when we were talking about the Premier League soccer, we talked about how the title race was very much as is, whereas this week I feel like not necessarily big changes, but maybe a big pendulum swing in terms of confidence, psychology, that kind of thing. So if we start firstly probably with the biggest game of the weekend, the United Arsenal game. I'm assuming we all watched it. Maybe you didn't. That's fine if you didn't. But yeah, what are your thoughts on it? Where does it leave Arsenal and United now, really?
I guess I said it last week, didn't we? After the results with Manchester United and City, they said that Arsenal could lose and then we're only 4 points out, and then that's game on, isn't it, really? City could go on a charge now. Aston Villa are plodding along as well. They're only 4 points behind. But Arsenal, I think it's credit to Manchester United, to be honest, and Carrick, like how they set up. And it just shows like playing a simpler style of football and working hard and things like that can get you results. And I still think Arsenal are going to go bottle the league, to be honest. I think 4 points now, they are now looking over the shoulder properly. It could make out for a good title race, but in terms of Manchester United, yeah, just set up really well, don't they? That 4-4-2 they've been playing, just, I don't know what else to say really, other than that. Sure, Tosh, you've got thoughts.
Yeah, I've got lots of thoughts. I last couple of weeks when you spoke about Arsenal, I haven't really got involved in them because at no point really since Liverpool's dropped off, have I not thought Arsenal weren't going to win the league. And I think I'm still in that boat because I don't particularly trust City. I still now, I was going to say it last week, but I didn't get the chance to chip in. Like, I still think Arsenal will drop less points than City. I just can't see City doing what they usually do. So I still think Arsenal will win it, but I'm probably slightly more concerned than I have been because they just don't look like scoring and they just look like they don't want to score. I thought the game when they played Liverpool a few weeks ago, for the first 20 minutes, they had Liverpool like penned in and Liverpool had that break where they nearly scored. I think Bradley may have hit the bar. And it seemed to really scare Arsenal. Arsenal just sort of, that's it. We're not going to risk anything now. And I feel like there's just too much caution. And yeah, so that would be the first. I still think they've got too much for City and Villa. I don't really see Villa in it. I haven't seen what we did to Villa. But yeah, I mean, City are famous for doing this thing. 4 points is nothing. They've come from further back before, but I'm not sure I see it with this City side. And I think Arsenal can go on a run. I think my worry now with Arsenal is maybe the fact that in the League Cup semi-finals that they're going well in the Champions League. They've probably not had a run like that for years where they've been in so many competitions. Will they spread themselves too thinly, maybe? But I'd still be going with Arsenal, I think. I still think they're the best side.
I was listening to the rest of the football this morning and they mentioned that like Saka has not scored a Premier League goal in 13 games. Madueke, like 13 games. Gyökeres hasn't scored a non-penalty goal in 11 games. All their forwards just aren't scoring. They're only getting goals from elsewhere, like the midfielders and the defenders. And I feel like they'll just like bleed points, if you know what I mean. Like, they won't lose games often.
Yeah.
But they might get a few draws where they're just not scoring. And City will win a few games, and then they still got to play each other, don't they?
Yeah, it's like mid-April, I think it is.
Mid-April, so it's going to be a massive game, you know, if they're close. You know, if Arsenal draw their next game and City win, like, that's gonna be the title right there in April. Like, it's that close, and I think they're not getting the goals. They're playing this way. And you saw as well towards the end of the game where they weren't surrounding the goalie on set pieces, and then the last sort of bit where they're chasing the game, they're all over the keeper, aren't they, on all the set pieces. It's just, they've obviously got a lot, but I just don't think they're going to do it. I think City will come back.
I think the frustration is, like, sorry to go again, but, like, I think, say, like, the last weekend when City lost to United and Arsenal go to Forest, and you just think, just win that game rather than seeing it's like a point gate, the gain in 1 point, that it's like, you know, that's what I think Liverpool did that really well last year, was every time Arsenal dropped points last year, Liverpool went and won. And really dug it in. You know, there was, I think, a weekend that sticks in my mind where Liverpool scored two late goals away at Brentford to win 2-0. I think Nunes might have got more, 2-1 maybe. They came from 1-0. And it's the same weekend Arsenal lost to Villa at home, or again away maybe. It's just that massive swing, whereas Arsenal don't seem to sort of put the nail in the coffin. And it might be something that comes back to bite them. Like, you know, they play, I think Arsenal play Leeds away on the weekend. Like, that's a massive game where, like, you feel like that's similar to Forest, where, you know, you can afford to draw one or two of them. You can't keep drawing them away from home. Like, winning at home and drawing away is not going to be enough. Now they've got to start winning away.
Carl,
I think it's like, the longer it goes on, the more it's a bit like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And, like, there's all this thing about they always bottle it. I think it gets to a point where it just gets to them a bit. And it just ends up kind of proving everyone right. To be where they were like 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, everyone was like, oh, it's done. Arsenal kind of run away with it now. And then you just kind of keep faltering when it's that game to do it, you just can't do it, get over the line. Like that Forest game, obviously, I think we watched it together, Tosh and Sean as well.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of had the feeling at the time where if City would have won that day, I think Arsenal go and win. But yeah. I think because City dropped points, you'd be like, let's keep the point. There's no pressure on us here. So, yeah, listen to Ireland. If there's one team you didn't want chasing you down, it's City, isn't it? So if you it wouldn't even be much for them to just go on a mad win streak. I'm not sure about the whole thing of like them signing Guay. He will kind of, you know, makes them that much better now to go and win the league. I don't think that's the case. But yeah, they've been there, done it before. Arsenal really haven't. Not in recent years in this squad, so I don't know. They just at the moment seem like they just can't break teams down, and they're just not really going to score in the way they have been free scoring, over relying on set pieces. And as you say, you're starting to get to the point of the season now where kind of points matter to other teams a lot more, like the likes of going to the Leeds and all these other clubs. Where earlier on in the season, probably go and play them, and it's just kind of, you know, Leeds or these like lower sides are just a bit like, oh, we'll give it a go, see what we can do. But now they're like, a point could be massive to them, which makes it a lot harder for Arsenal and those kind of teams. So, I think if I was to put money on it, I think I'd probably think that maybe City would do enough. That City might just pip them at the post, but I would like Arsenal to win it, I think.
I hit a point at the weekend, and again, not that I'm particularly bothered about the title race, because obviously it doesn't impact Everton in any way. And now that Liverpool are out of it, I don't actually need to worry about it. It's fine. But I hit a point at the weekend where I kind of did think, I don't even want Arsenal to win it anymore.
I was the same.
I feel like, I mean, I know the 4 points clear, and we'd obviously need to remember that they're still winning, they're still top. But it's like, how many chances are you going to have to just, like, as you say, take advantage of a situation and capitalise on it, and then they're putting themselves in these like battles that they don't need to be in. They've done it now a couple of seasons where they should be winning the title and they haven't. This season was the best chance they've had, and now they've thrown themselves right back in the mix to the point where Aston Villa look like feasibly they could catch them, which I'm just at a point now. I really wanted a bit of a change of the guard, like I don't know about you lot, maybe you're different, Max, as Liverpool would normally be involved in them. But we all want a different team to win it. There's loads of Arsenal players. I'd love Declan Rice. I'd love him to win it. Like, obviously, I'd really like Mikel Arteta, but I'm at a point now where I'm just like, you've had enough chances here. I actually want City to win the league.
I think it's better for the league as multiple winners, isn't it? Like, even though Liverpool have won twice in the past, what, 5 years, City have won the rest for nearly 10. Like, that's not good for a league. I think the Arsenal team now is so unlikable. Like, the one Thierry Henry's team and the Invincibles were very likable, even as a Liverpool fan. I know we weren't really challenging back then, but you liked a lot of the players and how they played and how they went about it. And even the team that didn't win leagues under Wenger, like Fabregas, and they played unbelievable football. They were a likable team. This team right now, just there's something about them. They're very arrogant. The fans are shit. And just the style of play is just not great.
Yeah, so when they used to come to Goodison, that Wenger team, they were horrible. They were like cheats. And they would like I remember every year they used to come to Goodison. You remember like there was one where Fabregas got Arteta sent off, and like Henry was always like, they were brilliant football inside, but God, I'd like it. Just, I know that's not the point you were making, but I'm just putting it on record. I thought they were horrible as well. But
this team's just horrible in a different way, aren't they?
I'm with you. And I sort of like Rice, I like Saka, I like people like that, but yeah. And I would like them to win it for Arteta, but I hit the point, Sean, because it was just, it was just for corners, wasn't it? It was just so boring. And like, you know, at least United was sort of having a go, and like Arsenal, that was what I was just thinking. Like, I actually was made up when United won there on Sunday, but I think I still would want Arsenal to win just for a change, for a lack of a nation state winning it and sports washing and all that sort of stuff as well. But yeah,
but then not too on political. That's just a terrible advert for the Premier League, isn't it? That like a team like Arsenal playing like that wins the. I mean, it depends what you see in football and what you like in football, but that's not the football we all want winning the league, is it?
At least
likes of City, if they're playing, I don't know, a bit more free flowing football, or they've got those exciting players that Arsenal just. Everything goes through Declan Rice at Arsenal, doesn't it? Absolutely everything. So, like, they'll take it down the line. If they can't get anywhere, straight back to Rice. It's just so monotonous, so boring. He must have the most touches of any player ever. Like, everything goes through him. It's just a bit like, I don't know, that's just not the advert we all want for the Premier League. Not me anyway. If we move on to United then quickly, talk about them as long as you want, because obviously they were great. I think, out of the two goals, the Dorgu and the Cunha goal, which one do we think is the best? Which one would we prefer?
I love Dorgu's one.
Double thing, like Costa's won the goals, which I think is a bit extreme.
Definitely.
What are you thinking, Max?
I like Dorgu's one more.
Did you? I thought,
just the way like the ball came down, it was almost like a half volley in a way, wasn't it? And just sort of like flew into the top corner. But yeah. I did that, definitely not wonder goals. Yeah. What is a wonder goal these days?
I know. Yeah. I'm a Cunha man myself. I prefer the Cunha goal.
No, I think Cunha is like, I think Dorgu's is, there's an element of luck. He just sort of does swing his foot at it, doesn't he? Whereas Cunha, we've seen him score them goals lots and lots. I think the goalie for Cunha's goal, he's terrible position. He's sort of on the wrong side, that Raya, I think.
Takes a step to the right, doesn't he?
But the shot goes in, he's not in the middle of his goal and he's more towards the other side, which I'm not saying he would have saved it, but he certainly would have got closer. But I think Dorgu's is the better one because the barring in sort of makes the bonus of the Dorgu one as well. That gives it a bonus point.
Also, the football for Dorgu's goal was very good as well. Yeah. Like the 2-1-2s between the same players. It was like it reminded me of, obviously not as good, but the Arsenal goal against Norwich, the famous one where Wilshere plays in the same 1-2 with Patrick Groot with. But it was like that, wasn't it? Dorgu and Fernandez done like 2 1-2s together. Obviously, he does kind of just hit it, doesn't he? But it's a decent strike. Barring in looks good. I think Cunha's is more considered. I think it's hard to say like a wonder goal like that. It was like when he side footed into the bottom corner. Doesn't strike it as a wonder goal, does it?
I think that's a Callum Murray goal, though. I could see you scoring that.
Yeah, you are right, Sean. I could do both of them, to be honest, but yeah, you are right. Nicely cushioned one into the far right. I'll give you that, Sean.
I just loved, for me, it's like how he almost like doesn't break stride, does he?
Yeah, it's all in
like,
one move.
Just like caresses it into the ball. God, I think it's just, yeah, I just love that one, mate.
Oh, I agree,
you almost feel like the doggy one screams winner more, but yeah, I just love that goal, mate. Yeah, any more on United? Do we feel Michael Carrick played his way into it, or is it way too early?
Way too early. Way too early. Gotta be. Yeah. You give him the job now, and then the rest of the season just flattens.
Oh no, they're never going to give him a job now, are they? But I mean,
he's ready for you to give it him right now. Yeah, like the two games, like just like Man United not learning the lesson again yet. Just have it. You deserve it.
Yeah.
I think I was just gonna say the other point on. I just love Bruno Fernandes, and talking about people that are just so unlikable. Like, what a player Bruno Fernandes is. He's like just a joke. But I was gonna say, I don't know. I think United, I've said it to someone who's talked to him yesterday, but I said like Amorim had a few good results. Like Amorim's won at Anfield this year. He won away at City last year. He did well at Anfield. Like, so I feel like the big games aren't necessarily the problem for Man United, or haven't been. So I think it'll be more interesting to see when they've got to go and break a team down. But ultimately, the two wonder goals that Sean had called them away from not winning that game the other day, aren't they?
I didn't call them that.
You used the word, Sean.
A few people have called them that, which...
That's what you were saying.
Yeah, I think the thing with Carrick is that he hasn't exactly reinvented the wheel, has he?
No.
Like, I think a number of managers could have possibly came in and just said, we're just going to set up this way and do this, and... Like my Manchester United supporting friend came out the woodwork. I haven't heard from him for 3 months. Obviously saying how enjoyable the last 2 weeks has been. But it's basically, his whole thing was we've had square pegs and round holes for months or a year. And that's how they have been playing. They've been playing out of position, so many players.
Yeah.
Now they're just playing straight up 4-4-2 essentially, and it's working.
I was going to say, like, he seems to just... It's quite simple, isn't it? But if it was that simple, Amorim would have done it. But he just seems to be putting the right players in the right positions. Wherever that play best position is, he's putting them there rather than kind of messing about too much with trying to put them into his own like formation that Amorim was kind of guilty of it, wasn't he? He had his formation and that was it. And like he would just kind of throw players into that. But Carrick seems just be playing the best players for the best position, and it seems to be working. But as you say, don't know how much of it is a bounty, don't know how much of it that's like everyone's kind of up for those two games anyway. Yeah. Like, would those games would be massively different if it was Amorim in charge? You wouldn't know, would you?
Did Amorim have an all right record against City though? Anyway,
as I said, he won away there last year.
Yeah. He won the Cup final as well, didn't he? Or was
that was Ten
Hag. That was
Ten Hag. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's obviously done something, hasn't he? Sometimes it's all just. Maybe it's a fresh face, and you don't even know like things like all the coaches and all that. Just like having everyone kind of fresh and new around the place just might help. You don't know kind of what they're like, and a bit of a feel good factor. And obviously, Maynou's back on the team, isn't he? And the team seems to like him, don't they? If you know what I mean. And yeah, you don't know. Do you like on a personal level how much they all like Dameron or how much they're all playing for him? Because it is interesting that like just in the space of 3 days. Just players look completely different. Like they're working harder and they're running more and they're putting in tackles. It's like how annoying that must be as a manager. If you have, I've been trying for months to try and get you to do something, and then like all of a sudden you just do it. It's like it's bizarre, but so that's just football, isn't it?
Right. If we leave that game there, then and yeah, if we go over to maybe the other kind of big talking point from the weekend, which was the. Sad, I'd say it's sad. I'm sure you two agree the sad demise of Virgil van Dijk.
I thought he was still dead.
I think you've got to be up at a certain level to have a demise. I'm not sure he ever was. It was just what he told us.
Yeah, best PR in world football, that guy.
Max.
Go on, Max.
I don't know what to say to the bullshit coming out of your mouth.
It's playing Pickford, so it's gone. How many days has it been? Since Pickford.
Since he murdered them. Yeah.
Was he pushing Conor Bradley out the way to do the interview on the pitch this time on for Saturday, or was that just when he had a decent game?
Yeah, he was awful. I don't know, really. I mean, I don't really want to talk about Liverpool, to be honest. It's the same chat every single week. But what I would say, obviously, he was bad, but Arne Slot seems like he's feeling the pressure. I don't know if you've seen his press conference today, but he did it last week as well, but he was like, I've won one of Liverpool's two league titles in the past 30 years. Comment like that is a bit, like, suspect to me. I don't think that's the right thing to be saying. He also answered, like, one of the journalists' question about Xabi Alonso, saying, like, oh, yeah, he spoke to Xabi Alonso and he's taken over the job in 6 months. Like, it's just a bit weird, isn't it? Like,
who said that?
Slot did.
Slot said it.
Last week, yeah. Exactly, like, he's always been very calm and cool with that stuff, and then the past, like, few weeks, he has really, like, gone off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, I see, like, he said something about, like, a young player the other day who he brought into, like, first team training, and he kind of said a bit about him and kind of ended with, like, yeah, when I've got no other options and I've asked him to join in, he's been good. It's like, that's good for his confidence, isn't it? It's like, when the tea lady doesn't fancy playing and I ask him to come up, maybe he's done a good job. It's like,
but it's also, what are you saying about the players that you've got there? Like, Federico Chiesa still can't get a game, and Cody Gakpo starts every week somehow. Ekitike had a fantastic game midweek in the Champions League, doesn't start at the weekend, and he starts Cody Gakpo front. Yeah, it's just a bit weird. I don't get it. I mean, you watch the team now, it's almost if, like, the players have, like, given up on him. Well, Van Dijk's just given up on everything, so yeah, that's where we're at. If Xabi Alonso came in this week, I'd be happy, but I don't think it would change too much too quickly. But I think he's definitely coming in the summer. I'd be very shocked if Arne Slot's there at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Slot confirmed it, so yeah, I'd be pretty certain that's going to happen.
Yeah, and then Andy Robertson's apparently getting sold this week.
I thought that wasn't on.
Apparently it's back on again. Apparently Everton's agreed, but, like, the player hasn't agreed or something, but his contract's out in the summer, I think. So whether he goes now or in the summer. And then you've got Van Dijk and Salah on 1 year left. I wonder what they do there, unless there's a change of manager. You know?
I'll go back to something. I think I said this a long time ago. Might have been after the derby. And we were talking about, like, Kerkez and obviously the kind of, like, the struggles he was having this season. And I said, I think it must be so hard to play alongside Van Dijk because he's constantly moaning. And I think, like, I've watched it whenever I've seen him play, and I've seen it a lot, but on the odd occasion I've seen him before, even Andy Robertson, who's, like, again, that kind of level of professional and player, he's got a reputation amongst his squad. Van Dijk's all over him, telling him what to do, shouting at him. When you're playing well, I'm sure Liverpool fans go, oh God, look at the leadership. Look how great he is. He's dictating everything. And then as soon as it goes badly, it now appears as it is right now, where he's at fault for goals and he's looking at the younger members of the squad, like, hands in the air. I honestly think you all love him and that's fine. I'm sure if you play for Everton, we probably think the same.
But I'm getting a team.
That is a good one, especially now Branthwaite's back. No chance. But yeah, I just think as far as, like, a teammate, we talk about Salah being selfish and all about him. Van Dijk's up there as well. We're all too scared to mention it. I don't know why he gets away with it so much.
Because he's been amazing for the past however long we've had him for. Okay, honestly, since he signed for Liverpool, who do you think's been a better centre back in this league?
Michael Keane.
There you go. Enough said.
But again, no, I still don't think that, like, excuses everything else. Again, it's like, it's all, I feel like, it, for me, I mean, it's all about him. He makes everything about him. The way he defends is the show, isn't it? It's all about, like, he wants the photos. He wants that kind of, like, they call it, like, aura defending, don't they? Like, he wants the cameras on him. He wants to look a certain way. Even after the day with that first Bournemouth goal, when he's trying to, like, pluck it out the air. What are you doing? But it's like, if that comes off, he's walking around like the man, and Liverpool fans are, like, all over him. As soon as it turned, it's not. And it's like, the behaviour's the same. Everything he's done is the same. He's just not gone well for you all of a sudden. I just don't know. I just think he's an horrible fella. And I don't know. I made this point a long time ago when we were talking about Kirkes. How is Kirkes meant to perform when you've got him in his ear? Especially when he's getting blamed for stuff he's not even doing wrong. Van Dijk makes a mistake, blames Kirkes, blames everyone else. I don't know.
I'll let Callum talk as long as he's trying to talk then, but Kirkes just made about 1,000 mistakes. That's why he's getting shouted at every week.
Most of them are Van Dijk.
I agree. I mean, Kirkes is terrible. I think with Van Dijk, a couple of things, just like, as Sean said there, he tries to be arrogant enough to like, kind of bring it down, but then he does all these things where it's like, even after he's not brought it down, he kind of stops and just like, a bit like, there's no way that player has the right to kind of keep that in, so I'll just leave him to it. He's not allowed to try and keep that in there. Like, he's not good enough to do that, and the player just keeps him and knocks it past it. He could have made up for that mistake 1,000,000%, and you see him, like, usually when, I think there's an applause for a while, a lot of the goals Liverpool concede, not that they've conceded a lot over the years because they've won a lot of games and stuff, but you look at the goals he conceded and you think, that looks like that was his fault. I don't know why, but a lot of the goals look like it was his fault because he jogs back or he doesn't put his body on that line or he kind of leaves a big gap. And then they concede the goal. His first thing to do is look at someone else and moan at someone else. And then when he sees that's not working, he just runs to the ref and just tries to, like, I don't know what it is. He tries to think, I'll just have a go at the referee and VAR might pick something up. That seems to be his go-to things. After every goal that you can see, he'll run to the ref to like just try and plead some sort of case.
Gerrard and Carragher do that for years.
Yeah. Now he's got far there to who they know going to kind of look for something. But I don't know. I think obviously you all love him and that's fine and that's all good. But he gets away with a lot, I think, because you do like him so much. Where I think if that was Gomez or Canato make those mistakes, I think you're lambast him. You're like, he shouldn't be playing at this, to that, or whatever. But I think it's because of him, you just kind of gets brushed under the carpet a bit. There's a lot of like big goals that you seem to concede that he just doesn't deal with. But yeah, I mean, we're coming from a place where like we watch, you know, Tarkov's keen every week. So, you know, we're like up here in terms of like centre back kind of standards. Yeah, we can't really talk about rubbish defenders.
We know.
No, but again, but at least like that one, like the other, like that Bournemouth one that Sean's saying there, like trying to make it down. Tarkowski and Keane try and get their head on that. They might have missed it, but they try and just defend that, not try and control it in the box, if you know what I mean. I think, yeah, he's a bit above the station sometimes. Keane might have brought it down and shot or something, to be honest. but yeah, I don't know. I've never been a massive fan of his anyway. I think his PR is great, and it's great when he makes mistakes as well. To be fair, I love it when he makes mistakes. But yeah, it was that game. Well, Saturday, wasn't it? Yeah, it was like typical Liverpool of this season, where just like a bit weak, kind of. Again, probably brought back to 2-2, thinking that like the old Liverpool story was that we'll get this winner here, and then it hasn't really happened to us this like that this year. I think like the expectation is always that we'll nick a winner. The last 5 years, that game turned out like that, you just know Liverpool are getting the third, possibly getting a fourth. That's just the way Liverpool have played the last 4 years, but it hasn't really happened this year, has it? So I am gutted for you.
Oh, thanks.
I think it is nice looking at the table. Not that we're all that bitter than that, but when you've moved from fourth to sixth, especially with like an informed United now and an informed Chelsea, it does feel like we might establish a bit of order, and Liverpool will kind of just lie where they belong. Because like, with all due respect, I'm sure you'll agree, Max, they haven't, like, this season hasn't reflected them being fourth. They shouldn't be in fourth still, should they?
No.
Absolutely. And that's what I mean. I feel like if they're six now, you go, yeah, that's about right. So yeah, I think obviously a lot can change, but that looked nice, and it felt like justice has been served there.
I think he has got like, if you're Liverpool and Javi Alonso sitting there, and you've got 2 weeks Because if it looks like they're not getting the Champions League, that's massive. Liverpool, this week, it announced that we made the most money out of every Premier League team for the first time. And I don't know how long it's been, but even if it's the first time ever, but we made the most money out of everyone last year, including City and Manchester United. So to the owners, like, the Champions League money is huge. Like, we need that money to, like, be able to compete. At the moment you have, like, a year or two out, a club like Liverpool, like, I know it's amazingly run, but it doesn't have a Todd Bowley who's going to just pump in billions to buy loads of players. Like, that's a problem. So, like, if they feel as if, like, we're not going to get it, I think he'll be gone. Because you are right. Like, we don't... I couldn't believe we were fourth. I know I've mentioned, like, Liverpool fans and stuff saying the unbeaten run that we were on, but it was a fake unbeaten run because we had about 8 draws and 4 wins, I think. Yeah, we are. We should be 6th, should be 7th, probably, to be honest. Like, we are content at that position because that's what we deserve. We've been terrible all year.
Yeah. Van Dijk's almost still been...
Van Dijk's still been the best defender in the league for the past 10 years, though, so...
Yeah, I was thinking what you should have done is spend £500 million in the summer, really. That might have fixed things, but maybe.
Might have, but we also didn't spend anything last year, so.
Oh, here we go. Poor old Liverpool.
I don't know why that's such a big, like, controversial statement to say. If you spent £200 million this summer, would you have complained?
I wouldn't have.
Thanks, Tosh.
Right, well, talking about the movement in the league table, obviously after the Everton result last night, we've moved into the top half. We are now sitting pretty in 10th. I'll focus on Callum and Tosh. What are your thoughts after that game?
Go on, Callum.
Go first, Tosh?
No.
I'll go first, Dad. Again, talking about Liverpool having that thing where they always seem to score those late goals and stuff. Even over recent years, have always had the one game where it's been like, wow, it'd be great if we win that game. I think it all started when, about 4 years ago, we said if we beat Villa on Friday, we go top. I think since then, we've started like a steady decline. And we always seem to have these games where, like, a lot of results go our way, and it's like, yes, go and win that game. And it look, you know, it pushes up the table and it looks great, and then we never ever win the game. And that's what I think this weekend was a bit like. Results kind of half went our way. It would have been a massive 3 points to get. And you just kind of went into the game thinking, we're probably not going to get these 3 points. The game itself seems to follow that. It seems to have this pattern at home where we, at 5 minutes at the beginning, where we get a couple of corners, have a few half attacks, don't do anything with it, peter out the next 30 minutes, the other team score, and then we spend the second half trying to chase a game. Which kind of happened again yesterday, but I don't know. It's hard, isn't it? Because you don't want to come on and just be negative in that. And we're 10th, and probably on balance, I don't think there's many games we've lost that you would have said, like, on paper, we wouldn't have lost, if you know what I mean. It's more so being all, like, performances in-game that you think, we've maybe dropped a point or so there. Last night, I just thought we were too, like, a bit too slow, a bit too boring. Like, there was no, like, actual agency until we get the goal, and then they try hard for the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game. Too little, too late. I don't know. It's just... some games you look great. Like, we're dead energetic and we're doing loads with it. You know, you go from, like, the Villa game to that last night, and then the other week where we went from the Forest away to then, I can't remember who we played the next week.
Oh, Brentford, yeah. Wolves and Sunderland, weren't it?
Yeah, we went from that to like that. So we're just not consistent at all. But I don't know. You don't want to slag them off too much because I think on balance.
I do.
I think on balance, you've been all right, and we're 10th on that. And you know, everybody would have took that right now. But in game, I just think performances aren't great. It is boring. We never have attacks. We never make other teams look scared. We never cause chaos in the final third. It's just like side to side. See if we can cross. None of our players can cross for some mad reason. which is like, for a team that obviously like emphasizes putting the ball out wide to cross it, to not have any people who can cross it in your team is bizarre. But like, I don't know, like, how can professional footballers not be able to cross, or at least like kind of
put it into an area? Just put it into an area.
Yeah, I just like,
Michelangelo puts it behind them every time. Like not even like, you know, you could say like he's trying like whipping in fast. Like, you know, he's doing it quick. He like just does them loopy ones behind everything. Like, as you say, how can you not do that as a professional footballer? Yeah.
I don't get it. But even like Coleman's the same, he can't cross. Yeah. Patterson doesn't seem like he can cross. Jake O'Brien, when he went right back, can't cross. And it's a bit like, you know, you're playing right back, you know you're gonna probably have to put in 4 or 5 crosses a game, maybe. Why aren't you spending like an hour a day just putting crosses in? Like, I think you look at Everton sometimes and think, I have no idea what these are doing kind of day to day on the training pitch. Like I don't know what, like, you look at the team sometimes, you just think like that just came straight from the training ground. They just put 6-7 passes together there where everyone's kind of made all these movements and that's what they're working on. And it's just like, we just, I don't know, it just doesn't seem to show for us. But I don't think there's any excuse for professional football and not to be able to cross the ball. It's like, why do you mess with it? Even like corners, why do our corners always hit the first man? Like, I don't know, when players are tired and all that, but how can a professional footballer just not put across, like, not, it's a dead ball, there's no pressure on you at all. How can you not just clip a ball onto the pen spot and let like the attackers deal with it? I don't understand. I don't get it.
Yeah,
Tosh.
Yeah, no, I didn't actually go last night. First game missed. I wasn't able to go, so I watched on the telly and sort of by half time I was bored. So I didn't really watch it. I did watch the second half, but I was sort of reading, doing other stuff. I couldn't be bothered with it. But yeah, no, just as you say, Callum, it was sort of mad because like we seem to have them penned in for the first like 5 minutes. Just corner after corner. And it went from that to like a minute later, you were like, Leeds are battering us here. They just literally had one break and then they were just battering us. It didn't go from any sort of like transition of us having them pending to just, they were all over us and like should have sort of had like 3 or 4 moments where they were in about 4 times. I just think Everton aren't very good as my surmise. So like, it's like when we beat Forest and then like, my dad always says, you know, God, just imagine if we'd have beaten, you know, Villa, Brentford, Wolves, you know, we should, if we'd beat them, I was like, yeah, we'd have won like 10 games on the run. You know, we're not a good football team. You've got to be a good football team to win 10 games in a row. You know, that fella with the Man United, who's been waiting to cut his ear for like things, they haven't won 5 games in a row. There's a reason Everton are Everton, that they might win a Villa because David Moyes can go and play, put Michael Keane and Dorvan Oz and play, and Jacob Bryan just head and everything and hope that you just have a break that falls for you. But actually, when it comes at home to playing Leeds, like, unless we score the first goal, we aren't winning that game. I know it sounds a stupid thing to say, but you know what I mean? As soon as they went 1-0 up, we might get one goal. We might have a goal in us. We ain't getting two because we haven't got it in us to create two. And that's where, like, for people who are anti-Moyes, it's that realisation that actually you're never going to sort of do that. Or you're never going to play progressive football. But actually, you're probably going to finish 10th, 12th, 9th one. You know what I mean? And that might be good enough considering the scares we've had recently. But yeah, no, I just thought, I thought they were dreadful first half. I thought they looked a bit better second half. They just looked a bit more urgent, as you said. Like, I wouldn't say they were particularly good. They were just sort of put a bit of pressure on. It shows what you can actually do if you do that, because they could have easily scored and won it. I think if they'd have won the game, it would have been very unjust on Leeds, because Leeds should have been 2 or 3 up at half time. But yeah, I say, it doesn't bother me. You win away at Villa, you draw to Leeds. It's like, that's got par for the course. We're not going to win 3 or 4 games in a row, in my opinion, because we're not good enough.
If only he had a 6'2" striker from Sheffield to put all those crosses in.
We've got one better now. Barry.
I agree, Max.
Yeah. Talking about that, though, obviously, I think you are quite vocal sometimes in your criticism of Moyes, Tosh, and I know, like, we mentioned them last week, I know Bob is. But, like, does he not deserve a bit of credit for making the changes he did? And could you argue that if Dewsbury Hall and Bramthwaite, maybe Dewsbury Hall to a large extent, with a bit more sharp, we potentially could push for a second in that game? Obviously, a lot's expected of them in that second half, but we always moan at Moyes for not making subs. he changed everything at half time.
Yeah, so, did like, you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it was, yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. I think it's one of them where it'd be interesting because Leeds, I think, were always probably going to come and sit back with the anyway. But no, I think he did. He did change the game, the going to that three at the back and like having Patson bombing on. And I think he sort of stopped trying to pass to Mikhailenko by the end. He was playing that bad. Like, I sort of thought, like, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe credit. My criticism of Moyes has always been the same. I think, like, if you want him to do that, which a lot of Everton fans are happy at the moment doing that, and I think I probably am. But you're never going to go any further. And, like, you're never going to sort of play good football, I don't think. But, yeah, I don't know, yeah. I think, yeah, you're right. He does deserve a bit of credit because he did change the game and he looked a lot better. But they could do with just starting a game with the same intensity. That would be nice. Because they don't seem to have done that at home for a while when, like, there's a ground, they're desperate. And even, like, through the telly yesterday, you could sort of hear when, obviously, when they scored and then they hit the bar, you could see the crowd, like, was sort of, there was a bit of a ride. You could hear the noise change. You think, imagine if you just start a game like that. I mentioned it when I was on the other week about the cup game, starting the cup game like that rather than waiting until 70 minutes and you bring some young lad on no one's ever heard of. And yeah, that's my frustration. And I think he's always been the same, but he's a safe pair of hands. He's a proper football man, as they'd say.
Yeah. But like your criticism of him and Bob's is very vocal. If you'd have won that game, you'd be seventh, a point behind Liverpool. Yeah, no, you didn't. But like, what is the expectations? Like,
you're there or thereabouts,
and like that's the best you can do right now.
It is, no, it is, and that's like you're right. But again, there's not a lot of difference between 7th and 15th in the league, is there? So Everton could still easily finish 15th this year, and then I'm not doing it based purely on where they finish in the league. I don't care. They could, if you're not qualifying for Europe, 8th or 15th doesn't make too much of a difference to me. But the reality is, if you're saying we could be 7th, you've got a chance to beat Leeds at home to go 7th. You should be beating Leeds at home. You should be beating Wolves at home, who've got 3 points all season. You should be beating Sunderland at home in the cup, would be the criticism. But you know, you're fully right, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not even saying necessarily I'd sack him. I certainly wouldn't at this point, I'm saying, at the end of the season. I don't think I would, because I still think we're in a position where, you know, without Grealish, you know, and Daigo's at some point, then you think, well, actually, we're probably looking the other way and Moyes is the man to keep you there. But yeah, I just think I like the idea of having... Pardon?
Who's the alternate?
Xabi Alonso's free of it. Yeah, no, I don't know. That's someone else's job. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything about all these managers. Like, you know, say, like, you know, I'd never really heard of Iraola when he took over at Bournemouth. I'd never really heard of Glasner when he took over. Like, I'd like to think Everton would have someone in charge who might be able to go and find one of them. But, you know, I don't know.
Didn't Glasner win the Europa League?
Yeah, he did, yeah. But I couldn't tell you the last 10 managers who won the Europa League, apart from Big Ange, and look what happened to him.
Could the criticism, going back to your question, Matt, I don't know about you two, is it more, obviously, we're picking up, are you saying like we could be seventh, but we're picking up wins probably we shouldn't be winning.
Yeah.
And we're losing games we shouldn't be losing. I think you're almost going to match now, not knowing, with like no idea of what you're going to leave with. And I think there's like some losses there's no rhyme or reason for. And then you win games, as I say, you shouldn't be winning. So it's almost like, I know the Premier League's inconsistent, but this Everton team is very inconsistent. You almost like can't call games at all. At least I can't.
Well, but they don't win at home. Yeah, and like you see the start of the season, like, you know, with Tottenham. I know Tottenham are just generally quite poor now, but like I think the home form does dictate a lot. If you're going to be mid-table, you want to win your home games, don't you? Because that's where the majority of your crowd are. You can get a good feel. Good. Everton are doing the opposite, with a better away from home, because Moyes can set up to play for 0-0 and hopefully nick a goal.
I will say last night as well, talking about like you getting the fans on side. Like the first like kind of, I'm not gonna lie, like I remember Callum last year when you were at the test event, you told me it was freezing down there. Like I can't believe how cold I was last night. And the first bit of any kind of movement we had was when Barry hit that like outside of the foot.
Yeah.
And the keeper made a good save. And that was the first time there was any kind of energy at all in the Everton fans. But I don't know how long, was that like 70-odd minutes that happened? But like, that's what I mean, you're saying like, you need to get the fans going, like last night, more than any time, because like, all I was thinking of that second half was, I can't wait to get on the train. It was ridiculous.
Again, I think sometimes the players need to play the crowd a bit, and they just don't do it enough. Like, James Garner, to be fair, is quite good at it, and he'll kind of throw in a block tackle or whatever, throwing a slider tackle. Harrison Armstrong done a couple yesterday as well, but you see Barry sometimes, and you know, the fans are very split on him. Well, maybe not even very split, maybe a lot just don't like him. But like, you see him like half closing down the keeper, and he stops like 5 yards away, just let the keeper kick it. Just sometimes just play the crowd a bit, just slide in, and just make it look as though you're doing something. Maybe win the block. If he wins that block, the whole crowd think, yo, we've given away a goal kick. No one cares, everyone's up like cheering, that's like almost like it's a goal. I think the players just aren't good at playing the crowd. And I think it just, because, you know, if we're saying we're only going to cheer for like attempts and goals, that's not happening much for us.
Yeah.
So we need to like cheer other things. And I think sometimes the players just need to learn that a bit and just at least make it, you know, almost like look as though you're doing something. Like, you see like the big, like in the derbies and stuff, it happens. And I always think back when Newcastle played PSG in the Champions League, that last year or the year before. And like literally every tackle they're putting in, like the players are celebrating almost. I'm not saying you need to do that, but half of those tackles the players are putting in are just because they know that they're going to celebrate a bit with the crowd. They don't need to go and slide in on someone who's on the touchline pretty much. They've just blocked it, but they go and slide in and try and make the tackle and kind of, you know, jump up kind of thing and celebrate it a bit. I just don't think we're not good at that. Everything's just kind of very like kind of just a bit slow and laboured, and they just don't look bothered, and the body language is also like just look switched off. Like that Barry just kind of looks like he's kind of like kind of just moping about for most of the game, and you think like, you're not helping yourself.
Yeah,
but you're really not helping yourself. Just put yourself about and do something and get the crowd on side of it.
Speaking of like arrogance, and or not, maybe arrogance, maybe that's the wrong word. Speaking of like people only caring about themselves, I believe Barry is that. Like, Barry doesn't look interested until he scores, and then like as we saw yesterday, he does like 5 celebrations as if he's like prime R9. Like, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? But like the amount, like first half, he's all over the floor. Like the amount of times he goes down injured, or as you say, he just like pulls out of something. And like, I genuinely, obviously until his goal, I feel like narrative changes weirdly when he scores, and it's now like, now it's like, oh, he scored 5 in the last 7 or something. I'm just thinking, I honestly thought last night, first half in particular, you might as well not been on the pitch. Like, as like a centre half, you must be licking your lips when you're playing him, because yeah, he doesn't impact the game at all.
He doesn't do any. He just, I don't know what he does. Yeah. I genuinely don't know what he does. And yeah, I think again, just kind of go back to the crowd thing, and even like Calvert-Lewin, at least when he weren't really doing much, people say he wouldn't score or whatever. But like the ball gets kicked up to him, like we do all the time now anyway, for some mad reason, even though Barry doesn't do anything with it, and there's no one within, to be fair to him, there's no one within like 20 yards of him if he wants to win it. But Calvert-Lewin would make sure he got, you know, pushed to the floor when we're doing a foul. And then, but like, even like winning the foul, all the crowd go up and like have a go at the ref or have a go at the player and kind of claim for the foul. But we just sat there watching Pickford boot it up to Barry, who doesn't jump, won't challenge for it. The defender just heads it and they carry on. Where I just, there's nothing for us to react to, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like an amazing piece of skill or a shot or like an unbelievable pass or a goal, just something. We just let us react to something, but there's just nothing there. And you know, you're doing it, and you see Barry kind of just like wandering around in the final third. And you just think like, come on, you're just not helping yourself. And, you know, he took his goal well, and he scored a couple of decent goals in the last couple of weeks, but you could easily go 6-5 games without scoring, without maybe even having a shot. Anything like, you're not helping yourself. Just try and get fans on side somehow. But yeah, it's, and again, that's not Moyes' fault. You know, talking about like and the Moyes and the manager, and that's kind of not his fault that the players aren't doing it. But then you could say, well, he's picking them. He's
whoever signed him. If that's what Barry, what Barry is. That might suit another team who can just sauntering around like that. That isn't an Everton striker, is it? And Everton strike, yeah, Marcus Bent or Dennis Strakulesi.
Yeah, yeah.
Everton have someone like that. Everton fans just literally runs around blocking things.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's what that is, kind of our type of striking. That's what that's, and it's also what we need the moment as well. I think we need somebody who's just a bit of effort to make things happen. I also think we need to be like 15 yards closer to them, to be fair. There was times where he was the only player within like 40 yards of like their centre backs, but I don't know. At least we've got better on the bench anyway.
You know what? Talking about that, we will move on in a minute. But I was reading today on my lunch, I was looking at like BBC website and that, looking at the transfers and that. Apparently, like, I don't know the state of Italian football, but apparently Juventus are after Beckham. Like, are they back in Serie B or something? Like, what's happened there?
Beat Napoli on the weekend.
Did they? Yeah, I know they want Beto.
Didn't they sign Moises Keane from you?
Yeah.
That was always a mad one as well, because he wasn't he's terrible.
It's not from him.
Where's the striker?
Michael Keane.
Yeah. Michael Keane.
Right, go on. We will leave it there. Max, are you ready to lead us in this week's game?
Yes, I am. We are going to play Who Is That Mystery Footballer? Which Tosh and Sean have played. Callum, I don't think you've played. Right?
I think so. So
I'm going to give you three clues to a mystery footballer. You have three questions each and two answers to give each, and you're not working together. You have to buzz in by saying your name when you're ready to give an answer. We'll see how it goes, but we've got five players in case we need to go all the way. But yeah, three clues to a mystery footballer. Ask your questions at any point and buzz in at any point.
Sorry, Max. How many questions have we got?
Three each.
And two guesses.
Two guesses.
Okay.
And Max, is it like you did in the Christmas quiz with a head-to-head, or is it just everyone's in?
Everyone's in.
Everyone's in. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Just kind of buzzing when you want.
Yeah.
Is this all with Tosh arguing with Sean?
Yeah.
Tosh didn't buzz in. He said, can I buzz in? And Sean buzzed. Yeah.
Manners is bad these days, apparently, so.
Yeah.
that's where the podcast's gone. So it's gone to the dogs.
Take what's yours, Tosh.
Callum, there's not always saying please, and there never was on the old Keeping Up Appearances, was there, Cal?
No, definitely not. You're the gentleman at the podcast game.
Yeah, exactly.
It was gently just pure negative stuff, though. About Everton, mostly.
That last hour hasn't been negative.
Let
someone find out again. In our spiritual.
Yeah, exactly. not on a quiz card, so Max, you know that.
Yeah. Okay, so player number one. He is currently a manager in Europe. He played in Scotland, and he is a Champions League winner.
Sean. Henrik Larsson.
Incorrect.
Oh,
that was a good guess to start. No questions asked. Anyone want to ask a question?
He's won the Champions League, sorry.
Champions League winner, played in Scotland, manager in Europe.
Can I question?
Yes, Carl.
Is it in one of the five top European leagues?
Like the big five?
No.
Jesus.
Okay.
Did he manage, has he managed in the Premier League?
No.
Did he play for one of the big two in Scotland?
Yes. Any questions, Sean?
I'm just thinking. What have we asked so far? Is he managing in the top five leagues?
Top five leagues, plays in a big two. He hasn't managed in the Premier League.
He hasn't managed or hasn't played in the Premier League?
Hasn't managed in the Premier League.
Right. I asked, has he ever played in the Premier League?
No.
Just a new career, mate.
And I got one more question.
Yes.
Is it got to be yes, no, sorry?
Yeah.
Did he win the Champions League between 2000 and 2010?
Yes.
That doesn't help me better.
That's all three of your questions, too. Callum's got two. Sean's got two. I think after the Christmas quiz, when I decided to do this, decided to make it difficult. So
yeah, no, it's good. Right, so I've got one guess, two questions left. Do we know who we won the Champions League with? Has anyone asked that?
No, but you can't. It's a yes, no, right?
No, but I mean, if I can say, did he win it with something?
Yeah.
Has he won the Champions League with a Spanish club?
No.
Can I have a guess?
Yeah.
Is it Gattuso?
Correct.
Ah,
good shot.
How did you get that?
I was just trying to think of teams that had won it who wouldn't have played in England. So I got to Milan. I just thought, yeah. He obviously famously played in Scotland, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Can I just check out? Is Henrik Larsson right?
I don't think he's managing.
I thought he's imagining.
He has been. I don't know whether he still is now.
Oh, I don't know.
He's
Italy's manager, did you say?
Yeah, he's the national team manager.
So what was your clue?
Manager in Europe.
Is Italy not in Europe?
You're saying international manager, not a manager in Europe.
You said top five leagues, which I'm not going to say yes to. That was the point.
He is a manager and he is currently in Europe, so he's going to be there. Stop, just because you didn't get it.
Nah, that's misleading, that.
That's well, the point.
That was the clue that actually led me to the answer.
All right, you ready for second one?
Go on.
Okay, clue number one, he is a World Cup winner. Clue number two, he played in France, England, Italy, Germany, and the USA.
God.
Clue number three, he's the CEO of FIFA Foundation.
Can I just repeat that second clue, please, Max? What countries do you play in?
France, England, Italy, Germany, USA.
Ask a question.
Yeah.
Did he play in USA as the MLS?
Yes.
Are you thinking, like, by Max's last clue, he just went to the US on holiday?
Well, no, because that suggests that he's kind of on the younger end, doesn't it? Not like
how long's the MLS been a thing, though? That's like a long time, isn't it?
20, 30 years?
1993.
Yeah. Go on, name someone that played in the American leagues before then.
LA.
George.
Rodney Marsh. They're all my guesses as well, Max. Are any of them right? So.
Did he, when he played in England, did he play for a top six club?
No.
Oof. Is he European?
Yes.
Didn't play for a top six club, but won the World Cup.
He played in England. I can't think here. I've got a couple of names, but then one of the countries doesn't fit.
Oh, it's the getting the year, isn't it? Because you could fit. It's the world. I feel like the World Cup winners would be the best one, but.
Well, realistically, the World Cup winners, the European. Oh no, it's been quite a lot of European, hasn't it?
Like, question marks.
Yeah.
Was he a goalkeeper?
No.
Narrowed that one down for us, Carl.
Well, you know he's an outfield player, though.
And Carl, you got one question left, Carl.
Is he an outfield player?
My next one is actually, are you sure he wasn't a goalkeeper? I can't think of a good question. Did he win the World Cup with one of the nations you said he played with?
Yes.
He played in, sorry, yeah.
So I think you've got one question, Tosh, left. Sean, you have two, do you?
Yep.
Okay.
I feel like I know which World Cup thing it should be, but I don't think I can name the player. How many guesses have I got?
Two.
Can I have a guess at, is it Yuri Djorkaeff?
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Shout that was.
Again, we'll have to give that away.
When it said the nations and the fact that it wasn't Big Six, I just had a feeling it must have been France. So I was just trying to think of them. And then I just knew Jorge had a bit of a career. Yeah, I didn't know he played in the USA, though. So that was why I was going to ask the question, was he playing for France? But I thought someone else might nip in with the Bolton thing. But...
yeah, he was...
you misjudged that one.
When he won the World Cup, he was at Inter Milan. And then he went to Kaiserslautern, and then he obviously went to Bolton. Three games for Blackburn, which didn't know, but it was New York Red Bulls towards the very end, so he was old when he played there.
Okay.
All right. Player number three. Okay, clue number one. His real first name is Jacob. Clue number two. He's a three-time League One Player of the Year.
Do you know it, Sean?
Yeah.
Sorry, Sean.
I knew it off the Jacob one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Come on, then.
Is it Harry Maguire?
Yeah.
Wow. That's good. Okay.
Another one, Sean.
Yeah. Get it.
And then the final clue, if you wanted to know. He played every single minute in the 2019-20 league season for his club, and he was the first outfield player to do so since 95.
I did not know his first name was Jacob, to be fair, so... I'd have had no
clue. All knowledge. You get your guy. I know Harry Maguire's birth certificate.
I was going to do his name, slab it. But...
well, Shay, how do I know it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just pass him on the back.
Yeah.
Knowledge.
I think I said to him that I went, well, in Jacob.
What's your real name? Well played, mate.
I was asking Quinny, is Quinny your real name?
I've got two more players if you want them.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, go on.
The first clue, represented his country in Euro 2004 and World Cup 2006. He is a Champions League winner. He retired in England.
God.
It's mad the way Jacob is the easiest clue out of the lot.
Did he play for a Big Six club in England?
No.
What was the first clue, sorry, Max?
He represented his country at Euro 2004 and the World Cup 2006.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Did the team he played for in the Prem, are they still in the Prem now?
Yes.
Has the team he played for in the World Cup ever won the World Cup?
No.
That's a bad question, that. Is his name Jacob?
Retired in England.
Could try and narrow it down to teams who are qualified for both them things and haven't won it.
You'll know that better than us.
I won't. What was your question, sorry, Callum? The team still in the Premier League, yeah. I had a thought that that didn't fit that part, means it's not.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw a guess out there. Oh no, did you say he didn't play for the top six club?
Yeah, he didn't.
Oh, okay, that doesn't work then.
Did he play in the Premier League for, like, you said he retired, was it like a long time?
Yes, no questions, Tosh.
Did he play in the Premier League for a long time?
What's a long time?
Yes, no questions, Max.
I don't know how to answer that, to be honest.
Can I still have my other question back then?
You can have that question back. I've already
waited. Did he play for multiple clubs in the Premier League?
No.
Oh, no. Someone else needs to ask a good question here.
Have you got one left?
Yeah.
Callum's got two. Sean's got two, I think.
Someone needs to ask the question about, like, the clubs get narrowing down the country, I reckon.
But it's hard because I don't know a lot. You know what I mean? Like, if I go... I've got a country in mind, but it could be.
Or maybe we won the Champions League with, maybe.
Yeah. Did he win the Champions League between like 2000-2010?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had another one. So obviously, then we know that the Champions League winner is not an English club, not me.
In England.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good point. And he won it between. I can write all them down now.
So two questions for Cal, two questions for you, Sean. One for Tosh.
Yeah. Did he win the Champions League before Liverpool won it in 2005?
Yes.
Did he win the Champions League for a team where he's from?
Yes.
You said they've never won the World Cup, this team.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
I think maybe that leads to one country. I'm trying to think of the people who play. I'm going to guess. Is it Nuno Valente?
Yep.
Fair play, Josh. That's
like Portuguese family. Says Nuno Valente. I thought you might have like grouped the fact that he only played those two tournaments around the Champions League win, because they won it in 2004.
Yeah, I've written 04, and then if it was no a country that hadn't won it, I was thinking Portugal then, but that was why I said that I think it was one country, and then I was just trying to list the team of Porto.
Yeah, and obviously he retired for Everton.
Yeah.
He played 4 years, that's why I don't know. That's
I didn't know he retired there.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, played 45 games in total and then retired.
Also, Sean's second ever guest on Keeping Up Appearances, if I remember rightly.
I was going to say, that's... Yeah, that's Keeper of Beards' heritage, that.
Hey, lads, there.
Yeah.
Should I get an extra point for that, Tosh, to be fair?
Was that technically actually the first episode, because you messed up that first episode?
It was.
That's true, yeah.
That was my first guess on record, yeah.
And I was dead close, clip wasn't that. I? I was either bang on or dead close. Was I spot
you,
on?
You were Bob on, yeah, with Fellaini.
Well,
it was Fellaini, yeah. Good answer. Go on, one more. Okay, doing ourselves.
Well, one more.
Great KUA knowledge, Sean.
And I've got like 10 minutes, Sean. Before I go. So, okay, final player. Clue number one, he scored 10 goals across 3 World Cups.
Wow, great. Wonder who's going to get this one.
Before Cristiano Ronaldo, he was the highest transfer fee for a player over 30. And then he loves Nintendo.
10 World Cup
goals. That's a euphemism, definitely. Nintendo.
Any questions?
My God.
What's his favourite Nintendo game?
Yes.
What did you so what did you say? Scored okay. Was one of the teams involved in the transfer an English team?
No.
Can't think of who scored. Did he play in World Cups in the 2000s?
Yes.
Has he? Oh, question mark. Has he won the World Cup?
One sec. No.
Mm. 10 World Cup goals
across three World Cups,
based on the fact Max had to check. I'm assuming that some of those World Cups then must have been in the 90s as well. Maybe he was at 98, because when did Ronaldo go?
But he said he hadn't won the World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, Cristiano Ronaldo, sorry.
Yeah.
I think you're talking about Ronaldo winning the World Cup. I can't even think of a good question. 10 World Cup goals.
I'm still on the transfer one, mate. I'm trying to think of like big transfers for a 30-year-old.
Was one of the clubs involved an Italian club in the transfer?
Yes.
Always is. He never won the World Cup. Can I just check? Was the player never won the World Cup rather than the country? Yeah, it was the player.
The player, yeah.
Has the country won the World Cup?
Yes.
That he's from.
Question. Is he South American?
Yes.
Oh. Can I have a guess then? Is it Batistuta?
What a sad little life you lead, Tosh.
He scored 10 World Cup goals.
Across three World Cups, yeah.
'94, '98, 2002, he went, yeah.
€36.2 million from Fiorentina to Roma, and Nintendo was the sponsor of Fiorentina at the time, I think.
Ah, yeah.
When was that transfer, Max?
2000, I want to say.
Yeah. A lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Won the league with Roma, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I found out in that game that I'm great at questions, less good at answers. Kind of. I'm like, I wheedle people out. And then just like...
And then let Tosh answer.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a gameplay, isn't it?
You are a team player, Cal.
It's like when you see it on the pitch, mate.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
the York called team. The quiz well.
Right. Nice one, Max. Well done, Tosh. I almost feel like bad that I took a point then, because like, me and Callum were just passengers. We were the TNO Barry of that game. But yeah, we were leaving.
I done a few things for the crowd to celebrate, though.
Yeah, you did, to be fair. Some unbelievable questions. We'll leave the quiz there and we will close the podcast up again. We have ran on as we tend to these days. And we've all got to get on with our busy lives. So I'll close it up with a question. This one is a very tenuous link, so bear with me. Okay. So this weekend, you're probably all aware, you're probably all looking forward to it. It is WrestleMania. No, it's not. I'm lying. It's not WrestleMania. It's the Royal Rumble. Why am I lying? The Royal Rumble, which is, for wrestling fans like me, it's one of two opportunities in the year to get excited about wrestling with other people, because that's maybe the two events that other people take an interest in wrestling. So in the Royal Rumble, if you're not acquainted with it, it's famous for, obviously it's great because it's just 30 fellas in the ring just battling each other. But they often bring legends back.
Yeah.
And they have a surprise return and like all of your favourite ex-wrestlers, former wrestlers come back and you can just kind of like bathe in nostalgia, maybe. So my question for you is, based on the fact today we've had quite a lot of criticism about modern football and the way the game is now, my question to you is, if you could bring back a former player, any former player, who would it be? It doesn't have to be a Premier League player either. You can have somebody from the past that you would love to inject into the Premier League now. Who would you choose?
Doesn't have to be a player that played in the Prem.
No. Any player that you would like to bring back, because they made you, yeah, that the kind of like the nostalgia you've got for that player, kind of makes you miss that kind of football.
I would have loved to have seen Ronaldinho play in the Prem. Because I don't think there's many players like that or like South American players at the time that actually did venture to the Premier League. You know, Robinho came at one point and
Gilberto Silva. It was that,
yeah,
wasn't
but it? like a flair player like they were. Because then there's always the argument whether they could actually do it in the Prem, but like he was just an unbelievable footballer, wasn't he? Just like every time he played, he was just trying to have fun and enjoy himself. And wonder if he would have, like, who would he would have played for at that era? So that was what, 2000. When did he join Barca? 2002, right after the World Cup.
Like Chelsea were the
Chelsea, probably right. Made. Yeah, probably would have went to Chelsea. So maybe not them.
Yeah, to be honest, Max, he was my answer.
Oh, really?
He was maybe
the obvious one.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if it's the obvious one. It's just...
That just is
the player, isn't it? Like, especially of our age. I feel like a lot of people now talk about Ronaldinho based on like what he's like on FIFA, what his stats are on FIFA. Whereas like, when you watch them, like Champions League games when we were younger was special because you got to watch Ronaldinho. Mm-hmm. And like some of the goals he scored, some of the performances he put in, and like, as you say, in the modern system heavy world of football, having a player like Ronaldinho just do what he wants would be unbelievable, because players wouldn't know how to defend him either. I just think it'd just be chaos, but in a good way. It'd be just, he was just magic, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, I think my thought was just like something that there isn't there anymore. So I think there is that sort of flair player. So yeah, I was thinking like just of a great number 10 that maybe we didn't see. Because there doesn't seem to be a lot of them, like, you know, great, like, little, I don't know, but like Ronaldinho fits that bill as well, to be fair, doesn't he? Like a Rivaldo maybe as well, or maybe a Zico going even further back, I don't know. So also like part of one of the things that jumped to my head is like, you know, don't we see someone like an Iron Robin as well? No, like just like, just brilliant sort of one chip pony, but unbelievable. They're all just, as you say, like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's a hard one. I think instinctively you do get drawn to like a South American flair player, but...
Mm.
Yeah, no, what are you thinking, Cap?
Probably bending the rules a touch, because I think he's obviously still playing, but if you're like kind of at the peak, I think it would have been great if like Neymar would have, probably along the same lines, if you were like peak Neymar in the Premier League, that would have been unbelievable. It's so unfortunate the way his career's turned out and stuff, and the injuries and that, because he was just like insanely good. So to have him like at his peak in the Prem, if you could bring him back to his peak and have him in the Prem, I think that would be great.
I'd go Neymar.
What, sorry?
I'd go Neymar too. I like that shout.
I think Ronaldinho's a great shout.
Being about like a player that actually would have like suited the Premier League, probably like Zidane. Just a big, powerful midfielder. He was also great at, like, with his feet. Mm-hmm. He almost signed for Blackburn, didn't he? At one point in the 90s, so the before he went to Juve, he probably would have actually like really fit in the Premier League. But yeah, Ronaldinho is probably the imposter answer for Tosh.
Yeah, I think what
would you say?
Yeah, mine would be Ronaldinho. I think you make the point that, like, I think we are all missing that kind of unpredictability, aren't we, in terms of like players that don't need to fit, as I say, like fit the system. You kind of do what they want. The defenders don't know what they're going to do because they don't know what they're going to do. Like you see them clips, don't you, all the time of like that Madrid game when Ronaldinho makes like, I don't know if Salgado got sent off, but he's got him in his back pocket, hasn't he? Where like Salgado, who again, he's like a Champions League winner with Madrid, just couldn't handle him, didn't know what to do. And you just think, imagine just injecting that into the Premier League and letting us watch it every week. I think that's the best thing. That's why I love Thierry Henry, because when I was younger and like football was life, I just used to love watching him. He was just, everything he did was perfect. And like, I just think, yeah, if people these days could watch that Ronaldinho, I think they'd view football differently and what they want in football. We've almost got used to the way football is now, where like, It's very boring, isn't it? And even like there's another player that I used to like purely mainly from when I played Pro Evo, but like an Adriano, who was just pure power. Like, I look at Tierno Barry, I don't want to talk about Tierno Barry again, but I look at Tierno Barry, and then you look at Adriano, who was like pace, power, everything, like a Drogba, but like times two. You know what I mean? Like someone like that in the Premier League, just explosive, would just be bottom. We kind of like put the cat amongst the chickens, as they now say.
I don't know whether it's like just remember it differently, but I felt like football back then wasn't as accessible. So like when the like you said when you watch the Champions League, like the first time you might see Ronaldinho play and you know about this player, and then you finally get to watch him. It was just like just an occasion, wasn't just watching like that a game where he does that little shimmy in the edge of the box and puts it in the bottom corner against Chelsea was just unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think we saw him more maybe towards the end of his career when he was like AC Milan. I know England played Brazil in a friendly at Wembley and he missed the penalty. I don't even remember that. He just wasn't Gerard's necessarily maybe. The same. Yeah, Gerrard, yeah. I don't know whether... He just wasn't the same player back by then, but like when he won the Ballon d'Or, you watched the odd game. It was just like so fun to watch. So fun.
I think that's right as well. The mystique, isn't it? Because like, when you think about that World Cup, the 2002 one, when obviously he scored that goal against England, how old are we there? 9. But I'd never heard of this fella. Whereas if that was now, kids now would know these players already, wouldn't they, from when they come through, like 16. Mm-hmm. There's no mystique there anymore, and there's no magic. Whereas like he exploded on the scene, and you were going, like, wow, that Brazil team especially, like it was just unbelievable. To then get the move to Barca, and then kind of, it was like, For me, anyway, and probably everyone our age, the World Cup was like the launching pad, wasn't it? And then he just became the best player on the planet from that. And it was bossed that he came from nowhere as well before that World Cup. So, yeah, I think that again, going back to the Royal Rumble, I think that's why I wanted to get that, was like that magic of when you were younger and everything felt different. And yeah, and it definitely is something special about those Brazilians. So I think that's unanimous, really. Right, we'll leave it there, lads. Thank you very much for joining us again and giving up a large chunk of your night. Callum, thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Tosh, I don't know if we'll make it 4 in a row next week. It's only up to you.
It's the same. It's got a busy schedule, as you know, Sean.
It's too busy, yeah.
Let me win the quiz to keep me coming back.
You want to see the new bookcase?
That's a good point. I'll have to see, yeah.
And yeah, as always, Max, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right, if you are watching on Twitch, which I'm sure probably viral by now, Max, surely. We've been on for an hour and a half, we must be.
We go up to about 4.
I'll take that, you know. That's double, nice. Actually.
Oh, wait, 4,000. Yeah.
Yeah, just clip that. But yeah, if you're watching on Twitch, if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, give us a like, follow, tell your mates. Just be sound. That's all we want. Be sound and help us grow. Nice one. Until next week, it's been a blast.